Thanks for joining us today in the zone. Appreciate you. If you want in, 433-1037. We're going to talk some Razorbacks in this segment, football, basketball, and baseball. Tim Harris joining me in the Fury Electric studio today. We appreciate him. He's with Sporting Life Arkansas. You can follow his work at sportinglifearkansas.com, among the various media outlets that Jim writes for.
Yeah, I'm also the editor for Arkansas Wild, an outdoor publication, quarterly, some by Arkansas Times. So I have a lot of fun doing that, too, on the side. Let's go fishing sometime.
I'd like that.
Want to go fishing?
Yeah, I'd love to. My kids have been on me about that, so we need to do that. My little one's been on me about going to play golf. My big one's been on me about going fishing. So,
Speaking of, I also did executive golfer. Did you see it?
I have not had a chance to look through it yet, but I did see... I saw that it was out. I have not.
Yeah, that was an Arkansas Business publication. We used to do that when I was with Arkansas Sports 360. Do you need a copy, or do I?
I would love a copy.
Okay, let me get you.
You know what?
Copy.
No, I lie. I did see. I did look through that.
I mean, because we have an interview. The lead interview was with John Tyson, the owner of Blessings Golf Course in Northwest Arkansas. Of course, chairman of Tyson Foods, former board of trustee member at the U of A. We had
If you challenge him to a golf match and he says no, do you say, what are you, chicken? Sitting there. I'm sorry.
We got a lot on the Western Amateur. Don't forget, tickets went on sale yesterday.
Where is that,
for
Jim?
The Western Amateur. That's at Alotion.
Ooh, I heard that's nice.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I hear it's a tough walk. You want to be in a cart, but those guys at the Western Amateur will have to walk it with caddies. There's a feature on Dan Snyder, who is the chief operating officer of Alotion, but he's also been one of the best pros and people who've been around these parts ever in golf that I've known. He's a great man. Got a great teaching background. I've never had a lesson from him, but I could stand for one, though.
I'm thinking about it.
I could stand a lesson from somebody. Maybe you, Justin. Maybe you can give me a tip.
At the end of the year last year, I got tired of being fat, and so I've gone to the gym on average probably 4.5 days a week since the first of the year.
I have to say I have not noticed, but I've noticed you've got some definition in your arms and stuff. You do
Thank
a lot
you,
of arm work.
I do. My arms just have a tendency to blow up, like my calves. They're very short muscles.
Has it helped you with your golf?
No. That's my next point, though. I'm tired of being the equivalent of a fat person to a golfer. So I'm tired of being a terrible golfer. I finally got to the point where I had to look myself in the mirror and go, you're disgusting. Go to the gym. Quit eating so much. Quit being stupid. And then now I'm getting to that point with my golf game where I look myself in the mirror and go, aren't you tired of shooting 93? Aren't you tired of sucking at golf? Wouldn't it be nice to break 80 once every, couple years? Wouldn't that be cool?
I'll tell you what, I was with you when you were halfway there at Alotion.
I have shot
you had
some
a
good
great,
nines.
You had a great nine.
The problem is, Jim, I'm a half-wit, which means I'm only good for about 9 holes.
Well, a bunch of us are. It's hard to concentrate that long, which makes – I appreciate the pros that much more every weekend that I play and I watch them. And I appreciated what Adam Scott was able to do at the Masters under that intense pressure. We've never played under that kind of pressure, but we've played under some kind of pressure and you feel it. But I just appreciate what those guys are able to accomplish, what Angel Cabrera was able to accomplish, to put shot after shot, pretty much on top of
awesome.
Scott down the stretch. I mean, I thought it was I just really do. When I go to a pro event now, instead of thinking, man, I'm only like 2 months of hard practice away from being as good as these guys.
Yeah.
Something stupid. Man, if I only played every day for 2 months, I'd be just as good as these guys. I don't think that way anymore.
10 years ago, I used to tell myself, man, if you really grind it out,
really
by the time
it.
You're 50,
yes,
you could be senior tour ready. Yeah. That was 10 years ago. 10 years later, I realize that no matter what I do, I'm never going to be senior tour
ready. You ain't going to be senior tour ready.
No.
If you weren't tour ready, you probably won't be senior tour ready. But it'd be interesting to see some guys that we know possibly play on the senior tour, like John Daly, like Glenn Day. It would be interesting to see how these guys can perform as they get closer, and they are getting closer, let's face it.
Ken Duke's got about 5 or 6 years left.
It would be really nice. I think Ken's past the point where you can sit there and think he might. He has to win an event, obviously, to get in the Masters. I would love to see him get in the Masters to play in it. I would like to see Bryce Mulder.
Well, he's played in it before. Ken did, but I mean,
I'd like to see him then
played again. Yeah, me too. Well, and Bryce too. I mean, Bryce is the guy that's had the game consistently pretty much the last 5 years where you're thinking he's right there, ready to break
through. Well, he's still in the peak years of tour golf where he ought to be able to get in there and
what do you know about continue. David Lingmerth? I always see his name in the list. I don't know anything about him.
He played for the Razorbacks, and he had a great year on the web.com tour last year. And
he's the new Pappas boy. He's like a Pappas guy. He's not from Arkansas, but he played for the Razorbacks.
Right. He's not from this country. Isn't he from England, I think?
Probably so.
But he played for the Razorbacks. Also, I'm looking forward to seeing what Ethan Tracy can do. Ethan Tracy won the Western Amateur. He beat Patrick Cantlay in the final. You know who Patrick Cantlay is?
Yes.
I mean, if you follow golf, he was the UCLA golfer that had great performances, I think, both in the Masters and the U.S. Open. I'd like to see what Ethan can do down the, as he moves on in his career as well. But David Lingmerth, some of these guys, it just starts, coming together a little later than others. I mean, few people had it like, Tinling Guan, 14, shooting almost even par.
Well, we talked about pace of play, too. There's a guy that got, we spent a lot of time on the Masters yesterday, and the fact that they gave this kid on the 17th hole a slow play penalty is ridiculous. I'm so disappointed in them.
Well, his group played faster than Tiger's group.
Is that right?
Yeah, give Tiger that penalty stroke.
Nobody has the guts to do that. That's what bugs me.
Oh, they barely had the guts to give him the two strokes for the illegal drop. Which, if that tournament, if this had not been the Masters, say this was the. Let's say it was the St. Jude and Tiger was playing in it for the first time in, almost 10 years. And they said, somebody saw you, you made an illegal drop. We're talking about, do we DQ you or just give you a two-stroke penalty? Don't you think he would have gone, I'm out. I'll take the DQ. But that this being a major...
He
wasn't going to pull out because it was a major.
I think it's because he didn't have to pull out that he wouldn't pull out, and fact that he was—I that's what I think. I don't know why you would. I mean, you're still.
Well, just say at the honor of the game. If you read like what Greg Norman said,
you don't believe that though, do you?
What,
that he should have pulled out?
I think the honor of the game was besmirched a little bit.
See, I don't know that I agree with that. We can debate it.
I think the guys like Faldo, like Greg Norman, Faraday. I think Nance went to Tiger's defense. I know they've put in rule 33-7.
Faraday stuck up for the 33-7 rule.
He did. 33-7. There is exceptional circumstances, that kind of thing. But I think people were saying, I mean, here's a guy who's never missed a rule. This is a guy who knew when no one else did, basically, that you could move a rock. Remember the tournament in Arizona years ago when he was just on tour, and he had like all these people in the gallery move a rock for him so he'd have a shot at the green at this hole, made this great shot, put it up there. He knows the rules. He knows every rule. I mean, for him to say, I'm going to take a two, I took it back 2 yards. I don't know, but I don't know if he was having a brain poot or whatever you want to say.
It happens. I mean, because he basically melded two rules. We talked about it yesterday.
He did.
My big thing is about that, Jim, is the local ruling was, you're okay, sign your card, let's move along. At that point, you can't go back. I have a problem more so with the idiots watching TV and calling in. Again, there is no other sport where you can do it. Why is golf different? You've got people who get paid money or at least are familiar enough with the rules that are on site that make these rulings. That should be the end of the story.
You know, the people who called in are the people who brought the Masters ruled and said no penalty. Then they turned around and said, hey, we just heard Tiger in his interview with Rinaldi say he took 2 yards further back to give him more room.
See, again, this is the opposite of preferential treatment for Tiger, because Tiger gets more attention because he's Tiger.
Yeah.
So, you know what? They're not asking the guy that was 54th to do an interview after his round. So, of course, he's not saying anything that would get him into trouble.
Right. He's not getting every shot shown.
That's the other point, is he's not, every shot that he takes is not on television. So there are a number of reasons why it's unfair treatment to some degree, because he gets too much attention. And probably he got too much attention on Sunday when he was still 4 or 5 strokes back. And they're like, he can make a charge now. I'm like, look, he's got to pass 8 guys along the way. Will you relax, okay? I mean, calm down over there. It was killing me the way they were like, oh, he's a birdie away from right back. And he did get relatively
close.
Well,
at least Faldo said it would be the miracle comeback.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew he was out, but he passed 4 of those guys.
Yes, he did.